And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We pray that you will be with us this morning as we study your word. We pray that you will inspire us with your spirit and open our hearts and minds. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. This is one of the very familiar passages from John, but also one of the passages that is oftentimes misunderstood or considered very difficult to understand. So let's just dive right in and see if we can learn what God would have us learn this morning. From the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." The Gospel of John is the unique gospel. It doesn't follow the same storyline of the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, while being one of Jesus' disciples, has written something that is much more of a theological challenge than just an eyewitness account of Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. The Gospel of John takes us to a deeper level of understanding the deity of Jesus Christ. John is the disciple that is often referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So it does indeed appear that Jesus and John had a special relationship of affection and trust. I like to think that it makes John's gospel more personal in our understanding of Jesus. It is John, after all, to whom Jesus entrusted the care of his mother after his death. When I say that John is more of a theological challenge, then I am referring specifically to this passage that we have read this morning, the first 18 verses in the first chapter. I take five key teachings from this, although there are more, but the five that I find to be the most instructive are: 1, the eternal Word; 2, creator of all things. 3, God unrecognized. 4, the Word became flesh. And 5, the revelation of God. All of that and more are tackled in these 18 verses. This morning, let's focus on our own personal understanding of Jesus' deity, Jesus as God. The first two verses are really key to understanding Jesus' deity. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So what does the word "Word" mean? Greek for the word is logos, and it actually has two meanings, both of which are important. The first is word as in the spoken word, and the second meaning is reason, as in our mind's ability to reason and to create and to control. Now we try to understand God in human terms. Yes, Jesus came to earth as human, but God is not human. We must admit that God and his power is difficult to comprehend. So in this context of John, the word takes on a meaning of the mind of God, which has the ability to reason and create and control. Think of it in terms of Genesis and the creation story. God is presented as speaking the creation into existence. God speaks the word and it happens. Heaven and earth, ocean and stream, trees and grass, birds and fish, animals and humans. Everything, seen and unseen, called into being by God's word. Let's just listen to the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there you have it. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. There was nothingness. There was nothing. But out of that nothingness, God created. So if then it became necessary for God to take action to fix a fallen world, a world that has disobeyed and has sinned, it would be logical for God to take that action through the Word. The same mind of God, the same power of God that called the entire universe into being would need to act to fix the mess that was created by the fall. So parallel to the opening words of Genesis, the Gospel of John presents God as speaking salvation into existence. This time, God's word takes on human form and enters history in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks the word and it happens. Forgiveness and judgment, healing and illumination, mercy and grace, joy and love, freedom and resurrection. Everything broken and fallen is called into salvation by God's word. It now becomes clear to us, knowing what we know, that Jesus then is the Word of God. He is the one who has the power to reason and to create and to act in the same fashion as God. Jesus is the God of the beginning of time. Only now John shows how he is God in the flesh. God came to earth in the form of Jesus. Verse 14 of this first chapter of John hopefully will now make a bit more sense. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal, divine, creative Word became a person of flesh and blood in Jesus. In this Jesus, God's own glory is visible. As Jesus will explain later, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. Thus, Jesus not only speaks the Word of God, he is the Word of God. Jesus not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. Jesus not only does the work of God, he is God. For that reason, he is the source of boundless grace. Jesus is the source of grace and truth, as Moses was the source of the law. The implication is that in Jesus, a new order has arrived based on accepting God's grace in Jesus. Now, if anyone is confused about the word, word, I'm not surprised. We hear the word and we think of our English-speaking understanding of the word as a spoken or written form of communication. We need the Greek understanding that it also means reason, or to get to the issue of the mind of God in order for us to understand the full meaning of the word. In simplest terms, let's say it is the mind of God and all of the infinite power that comes with the mind of God. For us, as humble and narrow-thinking humans, to believe in God and recognize God, it became necessary for God to come to earth in human form so that we could interact with God on a personal level. We needed to witness his power to believe it. We needed to see God in a form that we could identify with. And so God chose to reveal himself through Jesus. When we see someone walking the earth, doing amazing things, we get it. God becomes real in a much more personal way through Jesus. Now this morning we will be moving to the communion table in just a moment. This table became possible because of the Word coming to the earth in the form of Jesus. Because of Christ's suffering and death on the cross, God's Word made salvation possible. The Lord's Supper is the sign and seal of eating and drinking in communion with the crucified and risen Lord. During his earthly ministry, Jesus shared meals with his followers as a sign of community and acceptance and as an occasion for his own ministry. It is one of the great privileges we have as believers in Christ to further that sign of community and acceptance by coming together around Christ's table. It offers us hope for the future, and it acknowledges that the Word of God, the Word made flesh, indeed fulfilled God's commitment for salvation by dying for us. In the Gospel of John this morning, from verses 16 through 18 of chapter 1, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Let us now have communion with the Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us remember that on this particular morning, this morning which is World Communion Sunday, It's not just communion for those of us here in this sanctuary or in this community or even in the United States, but we are celebrating communion with our sisters and brothers in Christ throughout the world. Throughout the world, we all are gathering around the Lord's table on this particular day. So let us now have communion with the Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.